Did you get any rain there in McCook?
Got a little, I don't, probably a couple hundreds, maybe.
No, not enough to dampen the fire danger
Well, it
yet.
dampened the, it makes the air real clear, but that's about it then right now. So we need more, obviously.
Yeah. Well, at least no fire danger, or less fire danger for a day or two at least, anyway, maybe. But yeah, for the farmers and the especially surface water irrigators, definitely need a lot more rain.
We passed a couple of the budget bills and sent them to the governor. Is that correct then?
Yes. Yeah, the one thing we need to do constitutionally is pass the budget, and we did get that done. Let's see, was it yesterday or the day before? We did have to suspend the rules to do that, and that's the only time in my tenure that we had to suspend the rules to pass the budget. It needs to be done by day 50. It was day 54 when we finally got it done. Senator Clements, the chair of appropriations, been here for 10 years. He was appointed his first 2 years. It was the only time in his tenure also that we had to suspend the rules to get it done. But I am satisfied with the way the budget debate went. We didn't cut anything that I thought was extremely critical anyway. And the main thing is that we were able to keep the property tax credits all intact, and the income tax reduction intact. Will be down to 3.99% income tax, state income tax next year. So that'll put Nebraska a lot more competitive tax-wise compared to other states. We're about in the middle on state income tax. Property taxes, we're still way too high. Sales taxes, we're on the low side on sales taxes. I don't want to raise sales taxes, but I'll do what I can to support a broader sales tax base, and at the same time have assurance that we will be able to lower property taxes with through the TIOSA formula, or a actually I would prefer doing away with the TIOSA formula, or at least extremely modifying it, and also some support from the state level to local units of government so that we can reduce property taxes. That would be my goal if what for what influence I will have going forward, if any.
Senator, are you on the committee that's looking at the school finance formula?
There's the school finance committee. We have a meeting the very end of April, I think, is the next meeting. We'll have, I believe, four. I think we're going to meet quarterly, so 4 meetings a year. I did miss the last one because it was during the session. But we're starting to get into the more into the weeds on what we can do maybe to reduce taxes and properly fund our schools. We divided into two committees, I know that. So pretty much the structure is about all we've accomplished so far, the structure of the committee and of the commission, I should say, and then the committees. But I look forward to the next meeting, and that'll be my focus during the interim, is that property tax and school funding commission.
Do you think you're going to change the formula? Do you think that's where the end game will be then?
Most likely, you know, we have a lot of education people on the committee, and I, you know, it's hard to change. I don't think we'll do away with the committee with or with the formula with the way the committee's set up, because we have so many education people on it. You know, they're pretty happy with the TEOSA formula, because schools always have the option to go to the property taxpayers when they're not satisfied with funding from the state. And, you know, I understand they've had to do that in the past. But like I said, I would like to figure out a way to fund schools more from the state, so that they won't have to be so reliant on property taxes. I think the focus will be just modifying the TEOSA formula rather than doing away with it. I'm for doing away with it, actually, because I don't think nobody understands it. Very few, if anybody, understands it. And I think it would serve the public a lot better if it was more understandable. I think people are okay with paying their taxes if they think they're getting a good return for their investment with their taxes, and know exactly how those taxes are being used. And with the TEOSA formula we have now, that's almost impossible. There's been so many modifications through the years that have changed it. You know, when it was first set up, I think the balance between property taxes and support from the state was in pretty good balance in the 90s. But with the first with the steep increase in valuations in agriculture in the early teens and late, and you know, 09 forward, and then now in recent four or five years, steep increase in valuations in residential and commercial, the TEOSA formula just doesn't work anymore. It's too reliant on property taxes. I do have several, I'm chair of the education committee. I have, I think all of our education bills that are still in the hopper will be on select file on Tuesday when we come back. The big priority from education is the it's 1050, and that is to put the focus much more strongly on getting kids proficient in K through third grade, proficient in reading. And it does have a flagger in it that if kids aren't proficient by third grade in reading, the school through the Department of Education with some influence on how it's all set up from the local school districts would recommend that the child be held back until they are proficient for a year to get them proficient in reading. And it does have a parental override, which I strongly favor, that if the parents actually believe that it's better to advance their child, even though they're not proficient in reading, parents can override that recommendation from the school. Traditionally, Nebraska has been very high on the National Assessment of Education Progress tests. And in recent years, even since 2017, before COVID, we started to slip, went downhill. And I think it was last year, actually, we're below the national average now on reading proficiency in fourth grade. That's when the first test is given. And I don't think we definitely shouldn't be satisfied with that. So we need to do everything we can to get kids proficient. The supports actually start in kindergarten, and parents will be well aware if their child is behind in reading from kindergarten forward. And if a parent would like to hold their child back earlier, actually, I think that's better. But between the parents and the school, they can't get the child proficient by third grade, I think it's important to at least have the opportunity to hold the child back, because up till third grade, typically a student is learning to read, and past third grade, more they're reading to learn. So if they're not proficient in reading by third grade, it's very hard to keep up in all subjects beyond that point. So I think the way the bill is amended, it's very good. I hope we can get that through. And another bill that will be at final reading, I don't remember the number on that one, but it's my bill. And when a certified employee applies to be a teacher at a school, they would have to, that employee or prospective employee would have to disclose anywhere they have worked with children in the last, or been around children with their work in the last 5 years. And the school can then look back at the previous employment of the last 5 years. And if there is a substantiated allegation of child abuse or neglect from any of that employment, at least the school will be aware of it. The businesses would be obligated to disclose that without any repercussion on the previous employer. So I think that's very important. If you keep up with the media, there's been several bad situations have happened with mostly with the sexual abuse of kids by school employees. So I think that's important to get that done also. I should go back to the 1050, the third grade retention. About half of the states now have some form of third grade retention. The way 1050 is amended, it's about as isn't as strict as most of the other bills, or some of the other bills in the or some of the other laws in the other states. Started in Mississippi, which what was called the Mississippi Miracle, but several states have done something very similar to Mississippi, and the states that have done that have almost all moved above Nebraska after doing that type of a law. I think three states are the same as Nebraska, but those three have just started in the last year or two, so don't really have good results back. I think just in the last year, actually. So I think that's an important thing to try and get done. Actually, Senator Lou Anne Linehan tried to do it in 2017, and the education industrial complex promised in 2017 that if that bill didn't go through, that our reading proficiency scores would improve. And like I said earlier, that's when we really started a steep decline, and didn't happen. So I hope we can get that legislation passed this year and turn around our proficiency scores. I'm open to any questions you might have, or else I can talk a little bit about the people I have running for my position. But go ahead if you have any questions or suggestions.
Everybody emailed you the fact that if the legislature would stop lowering the qualifications for educators and teachers, the test scores would go up. But when you hire people who don't know what they're doing to be the teachers, of course your scores are going to go down.
Yeah, I think I've got an email or two to that effect.
I know.
Of course, we had the teacher shortage, and it is it has improved quite a bit in the last year or so. Yeah, part of the reason that was done was to at least get educators in the classroom because we had such a shortage.
Educators, Senator.
Pardon me?
You've reduced the qualifications to be an educator so much that they aren't trained to be educators anymore. They're just, if you can breathe, you can teach, and that's why the scores are going down.
Well, I don't think we've reduced the qualifications up until maybe, what, 2 or 3 years ago?
Well, how many years does it take to have someone not know how to teach reading?
Well, like I said, the scores really started going down in 2017. So that was well before I think we did anything to try and get more teachers in the classroom. That was more after COVID that we had such a teacher shortage and really emphasized getting teachers in the classroom as soon as possible. So at least we weren't, you know, without any kind of teacher in the classroom.
One other question too. If you said that they do their first reading test in fourth grade.
Yes.
Why are you retaining them in third grade when they haven't even taken the test yet?
Well, there's, I think it's called screening is what it's called from the Department of Education starting in kindergarten. And so it's done at kindergarten, first and second grade and third grade. So that's that screening process will make parents aware, parents, and then schools are obligated to contact the parents when their child is behind. So they are screened all the way through from kindergarten forward. But yeah, the national test isn't until fourth grade. So right now we have 8 screeners in Nebraska, but we're going to go to one screener or one screening test. And so it'll be uniform across the state. I think that's very important also. So schools will report to the Department of Education how many students are not proficient in, well, third grade for sure. I'm not sure if it starts before third grade as far as the reporting part of it, but I think it starts actually in third grade, the reporting. So it makes the schools, teachers, the schools, the parents, everybody more accountable. And I think that's important to make the accountability part of it and the just the more laser focus on reading. We've actually, teachers have been trained on 3Q-ing, it's called, to learn, teach the kids how to read in the last at least 30 years, maybe more like 40 years. And we're going back to phonics again now for learning to read. And we've started that focus 2 years ago. And actually this retention won't start until 28-29. So all of the supports will be in place several years before this retention policy would take effect. And I do hear from people that, oh, this is punitive, it's punishment. It's not that at all. It's just doing everything we can to get as many kids proficient as possible. So it's just giving them more opportunity, more review, whatever it takes to get proficient.
Only on select file, right?
Yes. Be on select file Tuesday. So.
Do you anticipate a long debate?
I really don't on that. I think we have the support now to get it through. The way it's, like I said, amended when the bill was first proposed, and I really didn't support it then, even though I carried the bill, because being chair of education, it didn't have a parental override, and I thought that was very important from the start to get that parental override in there. because I do think parents should have the ultimate responsibility for the education of their own kids.
Senator, how is the legislature making up the shortfall between the revenues and expenditures? I know you at one time it was $647 million. So how are you taking funds from certain funds and shifting over? I mean, you haven't increased any sales tax, have you?
No, we haven't increased sales tax. We haven't even broadened the base. We had the debate early on putting a sales tax on pop and candy. That didn't go anywhere. And we tried to increase the taxes on cigarettes and vapes. We couldn't even get that done. So we weren't able to increase revenue that way. I would think those ways would have been very simple. But so we had to end up, I'm not on the Appropriations Committee, so I don't have a lot of detailed information on that. But I know a lot of reserve funds were swept. Some cuts were made. The cuts that I think what we were most fearful of were not made. Some cuts to Medicaid reimbursement was not cut. That's still the federal law, following the federal law on that. Some of the cuts that I think we were fearful of with developmental disabilities were not made. So I think most people are satisfied there. We're going to still have the issue going forward, assuming the economy stays about the same. But, you know, that can change pretty fast if the economy improves, revenues start coming in higher than expected, just like the last few years since COVID, they've come in below expectation. Well, I should say after the COVID, all of the money that was swept out from the federal government, after that happened, revenues have come in below expectations. And then, of course, another reason is the big, beautiful bill. And our state income tax, of course, is based on the federal income tax. So when federal taxes are reduced, our state taxes are reduced also. So and I'm fine with that, because I think if we can keep the hard-earned money in the hands of the taxpayer, it can be spent a lot more wisely than we can here at the state or the federal level. So,
Senator, I heard on the radio this morning, you know, because of the fires in western Nebraska, cattle raisers are going to probably have to reduce their herds, which is going to affect Nebraska's income, I would think.
Yeah, there's always challenges going forward. That's a big one. I'm happy to see that there's a lot of hay being hauled west. Fortunately, there was a lot of hay produced last year, so I really feel for those cattle producers out there in the burn areas, and of course for all the first responders and firefighters that had to spend so much, especially first responders or the volunteer firefighters, I should say, that had to spend so much of their time away from their family and away from their work and everything, fighting the fires and protecting them from spreading. There's going to be challenges going forward. Beef industry is at a low in production because of the dryness the last several years and now the fires. And so beef prices should stay high, so that will help some. But yeah, we have to have the feed. Hopefully we'll have a better year for crop production this year too, so feed will stay reasonably cheap too. But yeah, there's always challenges.
Well, yeah, the cost of fuel's going up and fertilizers cost is going up, and so
yeah,
expenses for farmers.
Yeah, almost the fuel is almost as high as it was 4 years ago now. So we didn't hear much about it then, but we're hearing about it now. But I didn't get a chance to listen to the president last night. We went late in the legislature, but I, from what I've heard, and actually my contract ran out for TV, so I didn't even hear news this morning, but I've heard that they expect the war to end within 2 or 3 weeks. So hopefully fuel prices will come right back down fairly quickly when the war ends. So maybe some optimism there, and fertilizer too will be able to move, but it's getting planting time. So that's going to be difficult. Hopefully the supplies were good enough to get us through this planting season.
Senator, so what were you going to say about the people running for your position?
Yeah, there's five people running. I'm really happy that there's five running. Wes Wilmot from Beaver City. His wife's Kathy Wilmot on the Regents.
We don't want them.
Let's see. John Capps from Blue Hill. And then Erky Anderson, I forget her first name, is Michelle. I'm not sure. Anyway, her last name is Erky Anderson, Erky/Anderson, and she is from Orleans. And then Tim Anderson from Sutton, mayor of Sutton, and Melanie McKnight, Clay Center. So glad to have five running for my position. I haven't endorsed anybody. I do think at least three or probably four out of those five would be good replacements. I will likely endorse someone after the primary, but we'll see how the primary goes first. Like I said, I think there's definitely some good candidates in running to take my place. I'm really happy that that's the situation. I think when I ran, there were six, and that was the most candidates for any seat in the legislature. And now there's five again. So really happy that it's a sought after seat. But some other seats, there's only one candidate. Several, I think there's only two and maybe three. So the more competition, the merrier, as far as I'm concerned. The voters will have a better choice.